Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh, running for my magic. Gorillas in the mist. Take a shot, but you can't horse. Never thought you'd see some little niggas in the board. No kicking the cord, that shot, cause we ain't made a mess yet. Six rap, produce some next shit. Have a real hard man, bumping in your car, man. Finally caught up with a devil named Tarzan. Swinging on a vine, tucking on a piece of swine. Jigaboo come up from behind. Hit him with a coconut, stab him in his gut. Push him off the tree, he falls right on his nuts. And just like EPMD, I don't like a bitch named J. I'm gonna kill her cause that little motherfucking cheetah can't hang with her gorilla.
Got a caller calling in right away. 305-417.
Hello.
Hello? Yeah.
Hello.
Peace out.
I'm
up,
sorry.
King?
You chilling, man. You got to repeat that. You're kind of breaking up.
What was the topic again? Couldn't hear it clearly.
It's Mike. Okay, what's up, man? The topic for today, man, I'm just doing a one-hour special today, and I'm also kick the other half of the one-hour special on Saturday morning. But the topic of the day is the Creole Revolution, and we're going to break down some information to the people on not just stuff that take place over here around this town when the Creole Revolution was popping off, but also mm-hmm. was taking over there with the royal families, the reason why them, you know, the people had to hijack that damn boat. And more or less to speak, you know, that's how we can correlate to who's behind the agenda and why the hell we were brought over here to begin with. So with that being said, how you doing, my brother?
Man, hanging in there, man. You know, doing, keeping it moving. But, you know, me and you, we were talking about this the other day. And I did a little research on it. And you know, anytime oppressed people, you know, are put in a position where they got to fight to survive, they're going to find a way. You know what I'm saying? They're going to find a way. And I think you it's an understatement, too, because when you see this in playing out in today's society, too, how, you know, African-Americans or black people of whatever region you come from, they find a way to make it, you know what I'm saying? And it seems like, I know, you know, in this society, we are, I don't want to say black people are the underclass, or we've been labeled the underclass. And it seems like the same struggles that the blacks in the Creole Revolution that they were going through, we are going through them today. And I think sometimes black people don't go back and learn the history lessons. These history lessons are important. Because if you don't know your past, you don't know your present, or you know your future is going to be cloudy. Mm-hmm. And let's go back to the Creole Revolution. You know, there is a friend of mine was telling me this the other day. They call it the black. I can't remember the name, but it's like an elitist group. And supposedly, I remember you were telling me also that, you know, somebody black is in charge of, I just want to call it the Illuminati or, you know, higher ups, people, you know, or they taught this to the masses, you know, to control people. But I tell people, I tell black people this all the time, or I tell my friends this, that what we are experiencing, the world is experiencing. You know, because right now in our society, and this is, I know I'm taking this off the subject a little bit as going in the past, but I'm putting it on today's society, what we're dealing with. You see the movement, you see the control, and you see black people, I'm talking black brothers and sisters, I mean, being, like they don't get it. You get what I'm saying? I'm not saying they're not aware. Mm-hmm. Of what's going on, but you know, right. it's not like on their mind. Can you just elaborate a little bit like that, if you understand what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. And that's the whole. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was about to say the same. Similar to what you were saying, you're right with a lot of that material, and especially the fact that someone some agenda out there is trying to keep our people in a retarded state. Meanwhile, you know, like the comment you said earlier about trying to go and dig into the roots and know your, you know, at least some connection of your bloodline. And a lot of people don't do that, but through entertainment and also urban environment, there's a lot of distraction that keep people in that disciplined mode. So I understand perfectly where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. But you know, when I tell people this, it's a saying amongst my friends. We always say this, you know, people in the system, you know, and mm-hmm. the system is a way of thinking. It's a way of, you know, it's a thought process. And I mean, uniformly, I would just take a moment in my day, and I live in a predominantly black neighborhood, and I would just pay attention to black males and black females. And I remember when I was younger, you know, there was the same distraction that was going on now, just in a more pervasive way. Mm-hmm. I can remember that people have their own uniqueness about them, you know, that Afrocentric uniqueness about them. And as time went on, it seems like, you know, I remember there was a famous line in a song, "Straight hair don't care," you know, or if you tricking and you got it, I forget how the line go. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, it seems like that Afrocentric part of black people, we seem like we lost it for some odd reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were eating the same things, you know. We were culturally, we were, you know, listening to rap music or whatever, R&B, whatever you listen to. But on the outward appearance, I saw a more people who were more trying to look Caucasian. I'm just going to put it out there. And what in my era, okay, that made black people unique, it seems like we've lost that.
Yeah,
and
for real.
And today, people don't want to go out there or pick up a book or go online and learn about their history, you know? I mean, I think I heard this on the news, or I think I saw this on the internet. A cop killed I think it's a teenage boy who was at a party. And I think he was immediately fired. I don't know if Trump immediately made some comment about it, but I know he was fired, you know?
Mm.
And it amazes me how we get up in the uproar over, you know, this Trayvon Martin or whoever. There was a lot of black killings, I think, in the last 2 years. I'm not naming any specific one. But we don't say, I heard little about this recent one. Maybe it was due to the firing. I don't know. Maybe it was due to the firing, but I heard very little. I didn't hear too much on social media. You know what I'm saying? And I think at times, and don't quote me on this, I think that stuff is pushed out there to get a response. You get what I'm saying? Like, there's someone behind the scenes, and that happens every day in America. I know I'm not saying black people get killed every day, but we get mistreated. When a police officer comes up to you, I'm talking from my own experience, it's not a positive thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whether the cop is mm-hmm. black or whether he's white, it's not a positive thing. You know, it's like they're an authority, and you're gonna do what I tell you to do. And I think, not to go off subject here, I think we don't pay attention as black people to the little things as much as the big things. You understand what I'm getting at here?
I understand perfectly where you're coming from, because it's the small shit that brings about the, you know, the outcome anyway. It just, people just... And the big shit is mainly the results. But the small shit is what actually get the results on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, with that being said, especially with, like, what broke it down in the Creole Revolution,
mm-hmm.
you had not just people from Haiti or people who spoke French. And the funny thing about the Creole Revolution is this. That's how I know it was a whole bunch of black people linking the fuck up. If you split the word Creole in half, and you have the C R-E, and you have the O-L-E. The O-L-E is the Southern Cold. Proof of the pudding, Ole Miss. Old Dixie Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But the O-L-E is the European terminology.
You're
it's
right.
A European concept. So that's the reason why, once I'm telling you, once them black people over here that was POWs find out it was goddamn it, black kings and queens doing that shit over there and had these ships, why you think they had them swords out stabbing the air? Why you think they had them guns and the rifles to just clack, 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 smack their ass over the face with that shit, stab their ass in the heart or stab their ass in the goddamn well, realistically? You know what I'm saying?
But before you say anything,
I want to bring my co-host in. She 44512. What's going on with you, King? She, you in?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I'm just listening for a little while. I'm in a little windy area. So you guys,
okay.
And it's good to be. It's a wonderful thing to be black right now in this present state and time right now. It's good to be black, and it's a wonderful thing. This is a beautiful time in history. Make sure you make some history. But I gotta put you on mute. Let me finish up my little plate, and then I'm gonna be back on there. But,
all right, go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm here with you, man. It's all gravy. But yeah, man. Go ahead, Mike. Speak what you about to say.
Okay, but you know, when I've done a little research on, the Creole Revolution and around that time period, there was a lot of travel between the Caribbean and the southern half of America, and a lot of trade too, and. You know, black people for a period of time of slavery were a commodity. You know what I mean? They were a workforce. You know I mean? They were a cheap labor. I wouldn't say a workforce. It was cheap labor. And the misery that this country has been built upon, it's astounding. You know what I'm saying? It's astounding. The wealth that these people have acquired over their, their evil dealings with black people is astounding. And they continue, and you know, I know we're talking about the Creole Revolution, but I kind of see a parallel here. You know, when I see, Mexican people coming here, okay, and we got a lot of, I'm not saying that they're being, you know, they didn't go through the strain that we went through. But I see an underclass that America is continually trying to build, you know? And I'm trying to get the terminology down. What
you
do
know,
you call that? Colonialism.
Not to cut you off, Mike, but now remember when we were discussing the Creole Revolution and we didn't know which story that was what? The one you were talking about when it dealt with the Louisiana Rebellion. Now I know what you was talking about. I had just popped it up on my phone. The Creole Revolution, people, it took place in 1841. But the Louisiana Rebellion, that shit took place in 1768. And see, you hit me up with that because, see, check this out.
Okay, give me those dates again. I'm sorry. Give me those dates again.
It was under Louisiana Rebellion, 1768. Now, here's the game on this one. You had Creole, and black slaves, along with, like I was saying before, German settlers. They both, all three of them was linking up. They were linking up. And see, this was in the area of New Orleans, Louisiana, all that French Quarter and everything like that. But long story short, guess who they fought against? Spain.
I'm not surprised. Spain owned. I might be mistaken here, but I know Spain owned Florida, and I think, well, I'm not sure it was up in Georgia. That southern between Louisiana, Georgia, and Florida. If I'm not, I might be mistaken. I got to go research that. Don't quote me on that. But the thing that really I've noticed throughout history when you've had certain factions where, you know, okay, let's stick with the Creole Revolution. You got Germans and you got, you know, black people fighting against, German settlers and Creole people fighting against Spanish people. You know, for a long time, this part of the world was a resource. You know what I'm saying? What you were going to say? Go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Right. Yeah, it was a resource.
It was a resource. So, you know, the old adage is, you know, if you have land, okay, and you have a valuable, I'll give you an example. In my parents are Haitian. My father was my grandmother was a Canadian or maybe a French descent, but they were mixed with black people, and they had land, larger parcels of land, and they would farm the land, you know, and that gave them money. That gave them money to travel between the Caribbean if they wanted to, or to import, buy things off the boat and stuff like that. And that's how a lot of Haitians won't tell you this, but the reason why the ones that's over here right now, some of them came over because of desperation and a lack of money and poverty. But a majority of them came on planes, okay? They came from different parts of the Caribbean or directly from Haiti on planes. And they were the ones who had the money, okay? Mm. And so,
they had to, because they had to get on the plane.
No, I'm just telling the audience.
I'm not being funny, but I'm just saying, in order for you to get a ticket, you got to be, you know, a high roller.
I know, but, you know, the way, you see, I've learned something about how Europeans like to control, they like to control the masses. They want you to think that every person that comes from an impoverished area, there's no money there. You understand? Which is true to a certain degree, but at the same time, there's a flip side to that. You get what I'm saying? My father came over, he had money, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, when he arrived here in America, you know, the new arrival, you got to get with the system. You know, the system, there's a caste system where you come from, there's a caste system that you're going to. So, you're black, so, yeah, you know what time it is. But going back to the Creole Revolution, there's always been a spirit in black people that I think other races don't understand. They can't comprehend it, you know, because they didn't, even though that they were taken from their homeland, through maybe oral traditions or orally passed down, they never lost a sense of who they were. They were treated, immensely terrible. You know what I'm saying? But it's something inside black people where the light never goes out. I'm trying to explain it, because no matter where you drop black people at, they're going to survive. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And they're going to have a determination about them that I don't think, you know, you ever seen in the movies, white people get downtrodden, they just give up, you know, I'm not saying every white person. I'm just saying there's a point in time where you see in movies where spirit is broken. But in reality, I think all people, you know, wants to strive for something better. And they, at that point in time, it's survival of the fittest. You know what I'm saying? You got to do what you got to do. But this is the thing here. Let's go back. I think it was, you were talking about the 1768, where they rose.
Yeah.
Okay, you said the 1768, they rose up against the Spanish, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now,
that's
this is the thing.
Columbus time period, too.
Well,
okay,
no, 1768, that was after Columbus, because Columbus, he came on the scene around the 1490s. He passed away in early 503. I mean, I'm sorry, 1503.
So that was after him. That was after him.
That was after him, correct.
Okay, but this is the thing here. You know, history... I don't know if they. I don't think they teach this in school, but around that time when the, I think it was the French, the Creole, the Black, who were they fighting against?
They were fighting against Spain, because you have to realize Spain had all the territory.
Spain had the territory. You're right. They had the territory.
Mm-hmm.
But ask yourself this:
they got
the picture here.
But they're independent, though.
Yeah.
I just want to put in, they got, the Haitians got their independence from beating Britain, though, in the 1700s. The revolution fight was before that. But I'm sorry, I really meant to say Washington. This 1700s, which y'all was bringing up, that's when the colonies was made. That's what I was trying to say. So during their fight, America was forming a coalition and becoming... That's what I was saying. I didn't mean to say Christopher Columbus. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, but here's the kicker here. After these people won, fought the French, fought the Spanish, and won. How in the hell did they get back into the same position that they were in? I'm talking as far as the Black people.
Preachers
ran from them. Mm-hmm.
And it also was, you had certain Black people that came from the northern Black tribes that was over here anyway. You had overseers that was bloodline to them. You had Black landowners who people didn't know they were Black landowners. Out there in like New York and all that. A Black slave go to New York and see a Black person with a top hat on. Shit, the man gonna snob his nose at him. But that's where a lot of them was at.
And another thing that happened, don't forget that that perception plays a bigger role too, because don't forget at the beginning, so you're comparing Haiti to Jamaica and America. So if you're comparing it to that, they wasn't billing as fast. So you couldn't call them poor, it just wasn't operating as fast.
And let me ask y'all a question. Y'all remember the Gullah Wars, right? Y'all remember the Gullah Wars? A friend of mine said that the Gullah Wars were about, you know, Blacks, Indians, and people coming together and fighting for, you know, survival. And they never lost a war. Now, you're not taught this in school, okay? Or Native Black people were already here. Because I've seen pictures of Native Americans. They look blacker than Black, you know. When you see today's Indian, they look some red, I don't know, some light-skinned, pale person. I'm like, how is that a Native American? You know? But anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But what I'm saying, a lot of history, it's done on purpose. Okay, it's not something that, okay, we made a mistake. It's done on purpose. A lot of American history today that is not recorded in these books are done for a reason. Okay, I mean, you know, like when they say his history, and they said his, I mean, we know who made that word up and who's telling the lie. You know what I'm saying? It's obvious. But I say this, you know, fast forward to today. Let's just fast forward to today. We live. Mm-hmm. We as black men living in this society.
Today is a good day to be black.
Yeah, it is a good day to be black.
It's a good day. And when I get to spit in this newfound knowledge, y'all gonna love it, man. Y'all gonna go to whacking off of this one.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I couldn't get that last point.
Well, the reason why I keep saying it's a good day to be black because of what you said is story. Now, when you put that into real life and real time, whose story is the world waiting for? Whose story are the world looking at? Ain't nobody asking what the white folks doing no more. Ain't nobody asking no more. But that ain't my point. I got to come into current events, y'all. Y'all understand in the news, this man Trump has basically he played possum like he wasn't doing that, but we found out that he was working with the Russians. And this man pretty much know about this FBI agent that was investigating. So now all of a sudden you want to fire the guy that's investigating you and tell the world that, well, you wasn't doing a good job. So how clever is that? You fired a fool for not doing a good job of what? Investigating you? He didn't do a good job? Okay, so there goes the buffoonery and the trickery, right? So now us as a nation know, with that one move, we know that there's something going on that they're not telling us. We know it for a fact. And how we know they're not telling us? Because if you ask whether their plans, nobody knows. So there's something happening. And here goes my favorite thing. This is a secret. Don't let nobody know this. Russia fucks with Cuba. And we just opened up to Cuba. So now Chavez was talking to Putin when
Chavez was alive, and also he was talking to Castro before Castro died. You're absolutely right.
Castro was independent. Now, I ain't saying they was best friends, but we do know that Russia supplies people. I don't got to get into what they supply them with. But let's do a little bit of mathematics for my boy Mike, who likes the history. We had England. Okay, y'all made history. We had Germany. Y'all made history. We had Italy. Y'all had made history. You know what I'm saying? Italy, you know, all these times, the biblical time people, you know, all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to Russia, you motherfuckers had to race against America to get to space. You had to race against America for everything. And America kept winning. So now, my thing is, this Trump helping Russia, because that is the last of the Mohicans as far as the strong white male dominance, the world dominance. Because, and then here we go, let me tie in a little bit of Haiti with this. Because now we in America are celebrating everybody's independence now, because people didn't like, oh, we celebrating a slave state with 4th of July. So now America is okay with celebrating everybody's independence. Well, guess what? That there opens us up to a conversation with every melanated person now. So that means we need a strong-arm caucasoid to lead us. They are not finding it. You know, they're not finding it. He's nowhere. So now this is the secret that I'm talking about. What are they going to do? What are they doing? Because now that we own to that, and you in the house that the niggas slaves built with their blood, you in the White House that the slaves built, we are conscious and we're saying, what are you doing in there? And your whole objective, as far as I'm talking about white America, because you know it ain't just Trump's fault. He's just trying to represent. You know how it is. Some people want to represent, and then some people want to cause things. So the white people that didn't like Obama, making it a purpose to undermine everything he accomplished. They didn't like his swag coming through. That man had nice foreign relationships, man. It wasn't nothing going on. The only reason he was chasing Bin Laden because of the setup of 9/11 and because y'all wanted him to go get him. But otherwise, we had good foreign relationships. And everybody else, all that Korea stuff, we pulled up on Korea with the Navy. They don't talk about that. And Korea calmed down. So now that Trump in, he doing all these buckshots and all this right here, But the thing about it, once again, everything is to bring back the aerial nation power in the image of a strong white person, bro.
You know what, man? I tell you this. You know, throughout centuries, this geopolitics game has been going on. I agree with you on some of the stuff, but I got a different take on some of this stuff too. You know, everything. Why are they so crazy about power? That's the thing that kind of amazes me. You go to any black country right now, and the people that's leading it, whether they be a dictatorship or it's a democracy, I can understand a dictatorship because the dictatorship wants to control and stay in power. But if you go to a black democracy, they ain't running to go invade and looking for weapons of war and building up their war chest and their army so they can go and invade or control somebody. That's just something in the DNA of Caucasian male.
Well, don't forget that we as America, we was appointed to be the world police by
state. You know what I'm saying? I want to say this. You got to understand. If you could chart America in time periods from the 1800s on up until its present time, you'll notice that the progression of the white race has started to decrease.
Of course.
And this is the reason why you have such an uproar to get Trump back into the seat. But now that they realize that it was a mistake to put this man in power, they trying to rush to get him out. You know what I'm saying? Because right now you're talking about treason. This man is committing treason, and right now you can listen. All that leaking going on is coming straight from the FBI or the CIA. It ain't coming from some anonymous source. It's coming directly from these people, and they want to get them out of it.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna tell you something. You see, the Soviet Union, it's compared to what it is now, it is a much greater territory. And they always, if you notice this about, see, white people love lies. Caucasian people have love myths, lies, myths, whatever you want to call it. They want to go back to something that was great, that they wish that they could. They see their present situation ain't good, so they idealize something that was great that really wasn't great, and they want to get back to it. Russia had all these countries under control, and they were a mighty empire. They were something to be reckoned with. You know what I'm saying? That's their idealizing. We need to get back to that. We can stand up to America, because right now they can't really stand up to America. If America go and pass some sanctions, or America start, this is how America messed with Russia. People don't know this because I kind of follow geopolitics to some degree. They'll poke Ukraine. Everybody know. I don't know if everybody know about Ukraine. What's going on in Ukraine? Ukraine was a country next door to Russia, where Russia supposedly got these fake fighters. And these fake fighters took a piece of Ukraine, and now they're warring with the government over there. So they'll start a provocation over in Ukraine. Putin is so stupid. He got 10,000 troops at the border of Russia backing up these so-called rebels. So when the rebels start losing, he sent his troops in, and young Russian boys start dying. But to be honest, America is the greatest. America's got a lot of blood on its hands. Let me just make it simple like that. America's got a lot of blood on its hands, and people might get mad at me, but they'll say, "Okay, why are you saying this?" First of all, Obama was part of it. He was working with them. Let's put it like that. I know people love the man and they want to say he did this, he did that. He did some nice things. I give him credit. But he was down with the get go. Okay, because he didn't stop the warmongering that America was doing during his presidency. If you're the president and you have a so-called backbone, you're supposed to stop these wars or these uprisings that's supposed to be caused by the U.S. government, but he didn't do that. So at the end of the day, this is what integration has brought people, brought black people. They knew that they had kept us in that position where we was the underclass, or they were, you know, mistreating us. That at some point there would be a civil war. And so even though by Martin King, I'm gonna make a point here. Even though Martin Luther King, I thought what he was doing was helping black people in a sense. I think it's helped people, but I think in these days and times, it's also hurt black people.
Yes. Where black people grab the steering wheel after this situation, though?
Well, I think people are waking up. You know, we're in a time where there's information running around everywhere. And, you know, people are looking around and saying something ain't right here. You know, but I think it's individuals that's waking up. As a mass, you see, the thing that we lost in previous time, because when you used to walk up to a black man, you'd say, "What's up, brother?" You know, or "What's up?" It would be an enduring, loving term to the next black man. But now, nigga this, nigga that, fuck you, nigga, pussy boy.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way we treat each other. And there's no unity like there used to be with black people like it used to be, you know? I remember there was a time where, especially, I remember this during the Reagan era. I mean, black people were getting high. We were working low income wage jobs. Some of us were working in the government. But there was a sense of black unity back then. And I think that's seriously been lost in a lot of individuals. No, it hasn't been passed on to the next generation, I should say. It hasn't been passed on. But
unfortunately, the blacks couldn't control the media back then.
Yep. That's another thing.
Unfortunately.
Listen. I ask myself this all the time. Where did black people go wrong at in this present time? Why we like, how we go from being, not knowing everybody on this panel, everybody's kind of whether you believe or not, you know, this is how it used to be. It would be the church, the family, and it would be community. Now, I'm not bringing religion into this, but when you continue to experience hypocrisy and division. You know, the thing that destabilizes the black community, and I know if there's any white listeners listening to this, I'm not taking shots at you. But I recently saw in the 1980s that they hit us with what they call chemical attack. I'm talking about the drug infestation, but that was a chemical attack on the black community.
Yes.
You arresting black people, the drugs are destroying homes, and the result of that has made black people fractured. You know what I'm saying? You can't. It's like someone coming in your home and throwing a bomb, and two or three people, your family members die, and the other ones are maimed. These things have made a lasting impression on us.
Yeah.
But if y'all want to interject, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want to say you are totally correct. And that feeling that you said you had when brother used to walk up to a brother and say, "What's up, brother?" I think we're getting back to that conscious. And they running scared because now is the future. And it's a good day to be black because we control the media and we control the waves, the trends. Back then we did, but they controlled the media. So now we got a brand new dynamic, and it's a good day to be black because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go back into history. Everybody loved the story of Hitler and the German Nazis, but we have yet to figure out why he wasn't attacking blacks. It wasn't because blacks was lesser of an enemy. He ain't had no beef with them because he was getting that spiritual knowledge from blacks, and he was saying, I don't fuck with the Jews because the Jews was the ones doing the heinous stuff as far as the porn, as far as killing these empires with the money and making it happen in America. So now, I'm going to show you this part. The blacks that was murdered had on uniforms. You wore the blacks. The Americans made army black soldiers, and those are the ones that got killed. But there was no blacks caught up in Holocaust situations. So now you got to think of, okay, so Germany actually has a lot of blacks in Amsterdam. A lot of blacks come out of Germany. There was a lot of black scientists that helped out with Tuskegee. So now that we got control of our media, we can actually create history now.
I was saying this to my brother the other day that I thank God.
I had got this last night and I got it.
You there? Hello?
Hey, mute your end. You got some background noise.
My bad. I'm gonna go ahead and mute my noise. Go ahead. Y'all speak on it.
Okay. I was telling my brother this the other day. I said, man, thank God that they made the internet. Okay, because YouTube, radio, it's been a gold mine for information for just about anything. You know what I'm saying, related to today's life. You know, but I'm gonna tell you something. Let's talk about these crypto Jews. Okay.
Right.
I've done research on them, okay? And every country that they went to, they cornered the market. They kept others from participating in that market, and they started to actually abuse the people that were in their country. And they were doing that from the in Europe, in Russia, and the reason why they kept getting kicked out of every country is because it was a little bit of bashing, but the people that were at the top of the food chain, you know what? When you start seeing all these Lehman Brothers and all these so-called big firms, they all got big Jewish names, or you go to these big financiers, you hear about the. I can't remember the name of these. Some of these rich families. They were talking about them in the news and stuff like that. But a lot of these people were not actually Jews. They converted their names into Jewish names, and so therefore, a lot of the backlash, or because you can, I don't blame every Jewish person for every crime in the world. I blame that the elitists call themselves Jews. They have done the damage to the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's such a massive level when they touch a land. It'd be on a massive level. Now, you're right. There is more than one type of Jew. And I'm talking about within the white-skinned people of Jews and rabbis. There's different versions of Jew. Just like
Every time, and I agree with you, I'm talking about these Yiddish Jews. I'm talking about these Yiddish, Russian Jews. Now, what I'm saying, those are the ones that are living in Israel right now. But the other Jews, I'm talking about these Jews that own these large banking firms and all these other, money
the
money
ones
market
that pretty
teams.
Much built Hollywood. The ones that built Hollywood.
Exactly. These people have no conscience. You know what I'm saying? The ones that control the media, the music business, the music industry and stuff like that. You start to see how they. What you don't understand is that people You can't fool everybody. You know what I'm saying? You can't fool everybody. You can fool some of the people, but you can't fool everybody.
Some of the time. Some of the people, see, some of the time. But never
but
all the people all the time.
But one thing I've learned about living in a society like this, like America, is that people benefit from the color of their skin. And that's a factor in America. And even though I'm not particularly going into the tone of somebody's skin color, but what I'm saying is, if you have money,
I gotta get you on that statement. But keep going.
If you got money and you're maybe 9/10 of a Caucasian, I'm sorry, not 9/10, but I'll leave that blank right there. If you have money and you're of a lot of fairer skin, I mean a light skin, you 9 out of 10 times will not encounter what a black man have to go. You will not encounter that. You know, 9 out of 10 times, 10 out of 10, you will not encounter the problems that black people go through. And that's a fact in America. You know, as much as they say we free, okay, we got rights now. Exactly. So, I tell people this, that don't make me, that, when I say that thing, that doesn't just necessarily mean I hate all white people. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying that they have, it's an institutional something that's in place in our society, and I don't think it's going to ever change. So black people got to stop thinking that we got to, you know, okay, we got to try to work harder or show them that we're smarter. Those days are gone, okay?
Yeah.
Everybody is worrying about what they're going to do for their, I guess, their preservation. You know what I'm saying? What they're going to do for their lives. You know what I'm saying? But I think by thinking like that, this is the reason why we don't have that brotherly love for each other. You get what I'm saying? Because everybody's worrying about survival mode. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I see exactly what you're saying. You're right.
That's another tool. That's another tool in the devil's toolbox to divide people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
First you start oppressing them, you give them a little freedom, and then you tell them without any, you know, what, you know, when they talk about that acres and the mule, you hear about 20 acres and the mule that black people never got.
Yeah, 40 acres and a mule.
Yes.
But I don't know what document they read that from.
I know, right? You're giving 20
acres. I don't know
five,
where that came from.
Exactly.
But think about it in this sense right here. If you don't have some type of a launching point, if you don't got some type of land, or you don't have some type of business to get yourself solid, then how can you, you know, this is the famous line by so-called white supremacists. If my parents came over here and they work hard, why can't you do the same? Well, God,
Oh, shoot. They really say that as if nobody worked before. Like the image they portray of the brothers being lazy is true story.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? What you're talking about
right now, that's so deep and it's confusing, man, because it's like this right here. It's like, okay, we free, but free to do what? You know what I mean? Okay, now that we're allowed to eat at your table, what do we eat? Oh, I want what you eating. Well, no, we ain't giving you what we eat. No, y'all free. So all that Thanksgiving, y'all got to find out what you're supposed to be eating for Thanksgiving. So, you know, that independence that was fell in our lap after the slave condition, that was a tough one to swallow, man.
Man, I'm going to tell you something I learned. I'm going to tell you something I learned recently. When black people you couldn't own slaves anymore. A lot of black people wanted to go up north where they thought there was more opportunity and they wanted to get away from their oppressors, you know? So a lot of blacks went up to the plantation. Now, they passed the law, but white people were so afraid. Well, they had lost their workforce. They considered it as a workforce. So they passed a law saying that if you went up north and you gave a job to a black man, the black man could be arrested and this and this and that. So that kind of forced black people to come back to the back down to the south or stay where they were at.
Yeah, yeah.
And
dang, that's cool. Them boys got
that's
some manipulation, man.
Yeah,
no,
and
that's
how.
That's the same thing with what's the name with the cotton gin. What's his name? Oh man, what that white man's name is? Who they said did the cotton gin? I can't think of his name right now.
What
but the white dude, the cotton gin.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I forget about the white dude who they claimed that did the invented the cotton gin. But long story, he didn't invent it.
He took out a lot of slaves.
Yeah, the slave was the one that invented it. But because they had this thing where it was a political thing, they couldn't. Basically, the word they used was called patriots. So the thing is, they couldn't find no patriot political agenda for the slaves because they didn't have no rights at that time. So long story short, what they did was they told the dude, the white dude who did the cotton gin, we can't give you all this money or all this credit because they don't have rights.
Yeah.
So guess who kept the majority of that money? The government. The government kept majority of that damn money and kept that shit from the slaves. And to this day, the slaves don't get no credit for that.
No credit. And I want to add into that. This is my imagination, but that fool Ben Franklin owned a lot of slaves. And for some reason, he patented a whole lot of stuff. He patented a lot of stuff, and he was put on a $100 bill without being a president. So how you get to be so popular? You had never even a president, and you on the, and on a bill, the biggest bill. And you patent all that stuff. So we do know some foul play and some like you said, like I said, man, good day to be alive and good day to be black. Because now we get to control history. We documenting that. Ain't no more that just take off with all our shit no more. We documenting. About black current condition as far as in America. You want to know something? We still pretty much, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Y'all might call it house nigga or whatever you want to call it. But it is such thing as a black privilege as well now. Don't think we low class. So, you know, we got to be mindful about how we talk about ourselves as slaves. Because we were the ones that built the country, and guess what? Certain sections and certain states, we get treated very well. And on top of that, what you want to talk about? Hollywood, athleticism, artistic, and entertainment, what do you want to do? I mean, they all know that can't deny the spirit of the black man. So where my Mexican brother want to get an apartment, and he has a green card, I get that apartment before him for being an African American, you know? And if I take the word African off of there and I just be black American, I'm definitely going to get this place before him, being that I don't have a record. Now, that's part of it, but you know what I mean? So black people is very privileged and don't think that we just can't be slipping out here. That's the thing. But
okay,
we got it. Believe me, we got
it. That go back what I told you I was talking to Mike earlier. You see, America is always trying. You see, Donald Trump, this ain't what he was saying about the Mexicans. Yeah, he don't like the Mexicans. I know. We all know that he don't like.
We see that.
I think America must have caught him slipping and whooped his ass or something. You know, because he seemed to be have a hatred for these particular people. But I'm gonna tell
Bush
you this.
Bush didn't have that hatred.
Huh?
I just say Bush didn't hate him that bad.
I know, but what I'm trying to say is Trump is that old guard that wants to bring back that next underclass so they can be the new
high class.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, these Mexicans come over here and they do the job that most people ain't gonna do. If you told a black man to go to a field today and go pick some fruit, that man, black man, look at you like you crazy. Because we,
that's real.
You see, in America, this is the core where I'm trying to get across to y'all tonight. You see, whenever somebody feels a sense of entitlement, you say things like that. Now, if somebody paying, now don't get me wrong, if somebody paying me $20 an hour to go pick some fruit, I'm gonna get out there and go pick that fruit. Because on my mind,
$20.
Yeah, you feel me? But if I was to tell the average young person right now, or person our age or my age, and I say, man, go pick that fruit for $5.50, they'll look at me like I'm crazy. $5.50?
They would.
See, this is what I'm saying, and I just want to just take this on a note here, that in other countries, okay, not comparing the U.S. dollar to their country's money, if someone was to pay that person outside of America $5 an hour, man, they would think they're on top of the game. I was gonna say millionaire, but they would think they're on top of the game. You see, Americans live so good. You know what? Kings and queens in the 1300s, 1400s, if they had saw the modern day house, they would say they would be amazed. You can go use the bathroom,
yeah.
You can go prepare a meal in your kitchen, you know. You go to the grocery store where you buy what you need and you bring it back home, you cook it up. See, I think the everyday American doesn't, you know, look at stuff like that and say, I'm fortunate to be here. You get what I'm saying? Here you can have a dream and a dollar, and if you work hard, you can build something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In a lot of places around the world, you can't do that. But the thing here is, what people on the outside don't understand, people who are not awake don't understand, that you're still an indentured servant. An indentured servant, if you got to get up every morning and you got to go and you work with somebody in order to sustain yourself, it's like you got shackles with a leash on it. You know what I'm saying? It's no different. The only difference is you ain't being beat. But then you got to deal with the attitudes of the people around you. You know what I'm saying? And you some people, man, they work hard for less. They really do. They work hard for less. You know? And see, that puts a strain on a society, much as someone taking somebody and beating them. I'm not saying that it's a severity level, because what our ancestors went through, that was, I got to give them credit. They were some strong people. Okay? I'm not comparing what we go through to what they went through. But at the same time, when you have when everybody's thinking as an individual in your society, and one of the things I'm trying to say is, it's like a crab in the barrel mentality. And
yeah.
this makes the society decay. You know what I'm saying?
But wait. Don't we profit from being crabs in a barrel?
Yes, we
crab in a barrel means that I have to keep you down, and I can keep my pyramid rising up. If I keep you down and pretty much looking at the floor, doing all that groundwork, building this thing up. So of course it's crab in the barrel. And I think you made a beautiful point, man. I got to commend you. When you say that we're trying to find a new lower class, that's the God honest truth. I feel that. I definitely feel that in the society and the undertone that we got going on now. Because the thing about it, it's too many millionaire blacks, and these white folks that's been the elite is saying, damn, all these niggas in our social parties, in our social settings, who gonna be the monkey now? If all these boys is in our situation, we got to get somebody under that. And I think that's why I was saying when them boys is running with their tail tucked, trying to figure out, dang, can we even stay in America? Because we see that the world platform is loving the African-American situation. And they're not loving the white American situation. So
okay, well,
I don't know, man. These boys going to have to find somewhere in outer space or something, because it's really getting tight. and with the natural genocide, with all these white women making black babies and, you know, all this stuff going on, man, please, it's a good day to be black.
Yes,
well,
it is.
I'm gonna tell you something though. Here's the thing. You got a society that's immoral, okay? This society is immoral. You got people, when a president can sit there and talk shit about black people, Mexican people, and I tell Mike this all the time. I said, Mike, there's a thing called cognitive disassociation. I gotta go and give you this lady's her name. But this African American sister was talking about how people can see something wrong, and because